Father, we just pray that tonight you would speak to our hearts. We pray, Father, that we would just hear your words of love, your words of encouragement. Lord, that we would leave strengthened. Lord, that we would leave ready for all that you have for us. And Father, that you would use us in this world. Lord, that we would love because we've been so loved. And Father, I just give you the praise and the honor and the glory tonight, Father, that you do a work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. But sometimes as we serve the Lord and, you know, we live for God and we do the things that we know to do, it can seem like we're just not getting anywhere. It can seem like maybe we're spinning our wheels, like things aren't really changing. We do what we know to do, but sometimes it seems like it doesn't really make a difference. You know, our adversary, the devil, knows that if he can get us discouraged, we'll be tempted to just give up. But I'm glad that there are many times in Scripture when they went through those kinds of things, and we can learn from their example. And the same word of God that spoke to them speaks to us. It was rather a difficult time when the children of Israel were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. But even when they returned from that captivity, it wasn't an easy road. They began to rebuild Jerusalem. But they became discouraged. They were discouraged because their numbers were small and their efforts seemed futile. It just seemed like an impossible task and like they would never be able to get it done. They began to rebuild the temple, lay in the foundation. But when they saw how small their progress was, they just wanted to quit. They quit working. And you know what? I have to say that as pastor, I have seen that over and over and over again, that when the progress is small, so often people give up. And not just with volunteers and lay people. I'm talking about people that were in full-time vocational ministry. So often, when the progress is small, they just give up. And I want to encourage you tonight that the Lord has something to say about that. He had something to say to those people as they were rebuilding the temple, and he has something to say to us. It's from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. The Lord asks this question: who has despised the day of small things? The Living Bible simply puts it this way: do not despise this small beginning. And certainly it was a rhetorical question when the Lord asked them, who has despised this day, the day of small things? God tells his people not to give up. He tells them not to despise this small beginning, because this small beginning, even though it was difficult for them, even though they wept over how difficult it was and how little progress there was, God rejoiced over the beginning. And you need to know this, that God rejoices when we begin to do something for him. Anytime we are obeying the Lord, he rejoices in that. You know, we look at what we're doing and it feels like we're not accomplishing much sometimes. We look at our lives and maybe we feel like we're insignificant, just not really important. It makes us feel small. But again, I want to say, it is Satan's trick to try to paralyze us and keep us from doing what God wants us to do, fulfilling his purpose. Because if he can convince you that you don't matter, you won't matter, you got to believe that God has a purpose in your life that he will fulfill. So don't despise the day of small things. And I think it's important to take note of this, that it's the day of small things. That means it's just a period of time. It won't always be that way. Someday you'll look back on that struggle. Someday you'll look back and you'll see the fruit. You know, if you were going to go on a trip, say your destination was Paris, France, where would you begin from? Well, you start from where you are. And that's the way it always is. If you're going to accomplish something great for God, you start right where you are. I really want you to make this, you know, your own tonight and own this, because let me tell you, if you are going to become a great husband, you know where you start? Where you are. You're going to become a great father. Father's Day is coming up. You know where you start? Right where you are. If you're going to become a great prayer warrior, you know where you start? Right where you are. But you got to start. And it may be small, but that's where you start. And you need to understand, if you're going to fulfill God's purpose, you're going to fulfill God's destiny in your life, you have to begin right where you are. You know, talked about potential on Sunday and how important it is that we understand potential is what's left. It's what's before us. It's not what's behind us. But you start right from where you are. If you're going to do something great for God, I'm telling you, you're going to start where you are. You're going to learn a new language? Well, you're going to have to start from where you are. If you're going to become a great prayer warrior, you got to start right where you are. If you're going to give big amounts of money for the gospel, well, you're going to have to start where you are. Oh, no, I'll start when my ship comes in. Your ship ain't coming in. You start where you are. If you're going to preach to thousands, you got to start from where you are. I'll tell you a little known fact about my own life is that I was so great when I started that they didn't pay me. I worked for free. Then they decided they would pay me if I cleaned the church. And I needed lots of practice. I know you're thinking, well, you still need that. But I needed lots of practice and lots of opportunities. So I went to 2 nursing homes on a regular basis and preached. And sometimes, you know, it seems like the crowd here can be a little tough, but I'm used to that. I preached in some nursing homes. I'm just telling you, I've had some tough crowds. But you start where you are. Gonna preach to thousands? Well, you might preach to 2 first. But the problem with that for most of us is that we look at where we're starting from and we just feel like it's not important, that it doesn't matter. And the Israelites felt that way. They've been working hard. They've been doing the best they could, but it seemed like it just didn't make any difference. A lot of people have started a small group with 2. That's a really small group. And you know what usually happens? Now, if you're one of those, listen, you're not alone, and you don't need to get under condemnation I'm just going to tell you that usually they quit. They give up. They say, oh, this ain't working. I'm not going to do this. I'm just telling you, you can't despise the day of small things, because so often we start small. We got to remember that little becomes much when you put it in His hands. See, it might seem small to us, but when God is in the equation, it's exponential. It changes everything, because there's no limit to what God can do with something small. You know, sometimes we say, you know, we get that attitude. We say, Lord, don't you see this isn't working? I keep thinking about when Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. And the Bible says that they got out in the middle of the lake, and the wind and the waves were against them, and they were straining against the oars. They were going nowhere. But Jesus came walking on the water, gets in the boat. And in one of the Gospels, it just says it this way. It says, and immediately they were at the other side. And you know, that's the way it is sometimes. We're just straining at the oars. We're just, you know, doing what we know to do. And it doesn't seem like, have you ever tried to paddle a boat against the wind? I've been out on the pond a few times in the John boat. And, you know, no motor, just a paddle. And, you know, you can feel real manly getting after it. Just, I'm going to make this boat go where I want it to go. But when a 30-mile-an-hour gust hits a John boat and it just spins it around going the other direction, and sometimes life kind of does you that way. We feel like we're not getting anywhere. We get setbacks, but you got to remember, the Lord can make the difference. Don't despise the day of small things. As long as you're doing what He wants you to do, He's pleased. Isn't that amazing that God does not hold us accountable for making things increase? He does that. I mean, there are things that we're supposed to do. We plant, we water. I didn't say we're not supposed to do anything. That's what we're talking about tonight. Don't despise that small thing. You keep doing what you know to do. We plant, we water, but God gives the increase. Even if you never see the results directly, you need to know that God uses our efforts, that God uses our little, and He can cause it to be multiplied to so much more. Who has the greatest reward? I mean, it's not our place to judge, but just food for thought. Who has the greater reward, Billy Graham or Mordecai Ham? I know most of you are going, who's that? Who has the greater reward, Billy Graham or the one who won Billy Graham to the Lord? I don't know. But I do know this, that it was no small thing that Billy Graham came to the Lord under Mordecai Ham's ministry. It's no small thing. It might seem like a small thing. You know, might not have been, you know, they might not have thought it was any big deal at all that day. But right now it seems like a pretty big deal when you consider all of the millions and millions of people that heard the gospel through Billy Graham. And you just don't know whose life you might impact, what difference you might make. You may not see it at the moment. You may not see it even in your lifetime with your own eyes, but you need to know this, that when you're doing what God has called you to do, that He will use that seed and cause it to prosper and multiply. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, I'm going to read 31 through 33. It says, in another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, that the tiniest of all the seeds, little bitty seed. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. This is the principle of the kingdom, that it starts with just this little bitty speck of a seed, but it grows and grows and grows. And then he turns right around and he gives another parable to explain the same principle again. Just a little bit of leaven in the dough will cause the whole loaf to grow and expand and get bigger and bigger. And you see, we need to understand that God takes those small things and he causes it to grow. He causes it to become something much bigger than we ever thought possible. Just a little. Don't limit what God can do with your little. See, most of us don't have a whole lot. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Most of us don't have millions. Most of us don't have huge amounts of talent and gifting and, you know, charisma. And you know what happens to most of us? We look at our little and we say, well, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does. When you give it to God, when you just obey God and you do those simple little things, you don't realize what a difference it makes in the kingdom and how it can affect eternity. You might say, one little thing about the Lord to a lost person, someone who's hurting, someone who's in need, and that seed changed their life forever. They go home and they start thinking about what you said, and the next thing you know, they pick up a Bible that they haven't ever read, and they start praying. Before long, they've shared it with their family. They're in church. They're serving God. You don't know what just one little seed might accomplish. That's the way the kingdom works. God uses that, but not if we're not willing to do it. Not if we despise. See, so often, that's exactly what happens, is that people despise the small things. You know, I think it's even more true in our day, in the time we live, where we see all the big things, because we know about every big thing that happens. We know about all the big stuff all over the world. What is our little thing? But God uses our little. When Jesus walked this earth, his little religious movement was nothing. It didn't even compare to the other religious movements of the day. Now we look back and we say, oh no, wait a minute. It changed everything. That's right. But you need to remember that it started with 12 and one of them didn't make it. And the Romans, they didn't care about this little religious band. The only reason they crucified Jesus was to make the Jews happy. Romans just considered Jesus' followers of no consequence. Pilate said, I don't find any fault with him. They weren't the least bit worried about this little group of religious people. Later, the Romans got real concerned about this religious group. It just kept growing and growing and growing. And then they decided to try to snuff it out and it just made it grow more. They couldn't stop it. But it started off so small. Where are the Romans who tried to stop the church? Where are the Sadducees and the Pharisees that had all the religious power of the day? Great things usually come from small beginnings. But you know what? That's especially true in the work of the Lord. You might think that you're insignificant or that your efforts don't matter. What you do is unimportant. You just need to know that God can take your little and do so much with it. You may not be seeing any progress. Don't limit God. I wonder what kind of progress Joseph thought he was making when he was in prison. But then, all of a sudden, God fulfilled the dream that he'd given him. Wonder what kind of progress young shepherd boy thought he was making as he was taking care of the sheep. But he did become king. You just need to realize that sometimes you're doing something that you think is small, you think is mundane and unimportant, but in the big scheme of God's plan, he's going to use it. We just don't see the big picture like the Lord does. That's why we have to trust him. Read a story about how that when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, in one neighborhood, people swam to the tallest building. And as they got on the roof of this building, and after a little while, they realized that it was a church. And when somebody said, "Hey, this is a church," well, then one woman realized that this was a church that her grandparents had helped build. I wonder if her grandparents, if it ever crossed their mind that one day this church they built would literally save their granddaughter's life. You just don't know what impact something you're doing now is going to have down the road. You just have no idea how God will use your efforts. Like this story of the young boy that's going along the beach picking up starfish and throwing them back out into the water so they don't die. And a man comes along and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing starfish back in the water so they won't die." And the man says, "There's like 20,000 of them. What difference do you think that makes? What does it matter?" And the little boy just keeps throwing them, and he says, "It matters to this one." And I'm just telling you that sometimes we look at the problems in our world and we look at everything that's going on, and you see, it is the trick of Satan to make you think that small things don't matter, that what you can do doesn't matter. You got to let some rich person, let some big shot, let somebody with more. No. So often God chooses the small. Little boy just kept throwing them back. That's what you do. You just keep doing what God wants you to do. During World War II, there's a B-17 pilot whose fuel tanks were hit, but they didn't explode. And so later, after he had landed, he asked the crew, he said, I would like to have the shells that hit my plane, that hit the aircraft. He says, I would like to have those shells as a souvenir. And so they got the shells out, and none of them had exploded, and they opened them up. Well, they didn't have any explosive in them. Instead, there was just a note that said, "This is all we can do for now." Somebody in the manufacturer was trying to help by not putting explosive in those shells. And you know what? It might not have made a difference in turning the war, but it sure made a difference to that airplane crew. And I'm just telling you, sometimes you're doing little things and you just think, does it really matter? Is it making any difference? And you can get discouraged, but don't. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. Keep, you know, acts of kindness. You just don't know what it may accomplish. You just don't know. You say, well, I've been praying and it doesn't seem to make any difference. You just don't know how God is going to use that. You just don't know what your service, what your work is going to mean in eternity. You know, I always say that the real reason people don't pray is because they don't believe it matters. Because if you really believe that your prayer makes a difference, you'll pray. You know what? The same thing is true when it comes to witnessing, talking about the Lord, when it comes to serving the Lord and being involved in the work of the ministry. If people really believe that their efforts are going to make the difference in somebody else's life, I know they do it. But it's this trick of Satan that what you do doesn't matter. Don't despise the day. The small things. He uses our little. 2 pennies next to nothing. Can you put in more than 2 pennies? Luke 21, 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites, so he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." Jesus said, "She put in more than all." A lot of people like to give their 2 cents. But not very many people are willing to give their last 2 cents. How many can you feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Y'all know the answer, right? Somebody does. Well, the answer is 5,000 men plus. When you give it to God, a boy's sack lunch fed 5,000. God delivered a nation from 400 years of bondage with a shepherd's staff. He slew a giant, the biggest man that ever lived, with a teenage boy with a sling and a stone. I'm just telling you that God can use little things to accomplish great things. He turned the world upside down with 11 men. He used humble men to perform great works for His glory. God uses people who are willing to serve and willing to do things that maybe seem unimportant. Teaching a children's class. Leading a very small group. You know, you read the Bible and you see these stories. We read this one just a week or so ago about how Philip witnessed to 1 Ethiopian. You just don't know what impact that Ethiopian had on his whole nation. Jesus meets with a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who had had 5 husbands and is living with a man that's not her husband. But she goes into town and brings the whole town out to see Jesus. You just don't know what one little thing might accomplish. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29 says, you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what? That passage of scripture needs to be read over and over and over in our generation, because it's too much of this thing of the superstar and the big shot. And listen, God doesn't need all that. And so often he chooses the weak. He chooses the things that are not, the nobody. He chooses those little things. Because let me tell you something, he doesn't need much. He doesn't need much. Just a little bit is all he needs to work with. He doesn't need our strength. He uses our weakness. That's how he shows off. No flesh can glory in his presence. He doesn't need our intellect. He doesn't need our nobility. No, he uses the despised. Most are willing to be humble men doing great works. How many great men are willing to do humble work? Our Lord was a servant who washed feet. And sometimes we despise the small things. He will not trust us with great things if we're not faithful with small things. So many people plan on really doing something for God, and they end up doing nothing because they weren't willing to do the small things. I'm just letting that soak for a minute. So many people plan on doing great things for God, and they end up doing nothing because they weren't willing to do the small things. Don't despise the day of small things. Throughout the Bible, you see God accomplishing great spiritual things through individuals, small groups of people that seem to have little or no power. And yet God does something great. You know, most people that end up doing something great for God, it's ordinary people who are just doing little things in obedience to God. And in retrospect, we see how God was able to take that and accomplish great things. But we just have to be faithful in the little, even when it looks like it's futile. Like it's not making any difference. And God uses that tiny seed, a tiny deed, and put it in his hands, and he causes it to grow. He causes it to have a big impact. It's been said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Small things, just little things. Jesus talked about giving a cup of cold water. You just don't know what a difference some small thing might accomplish. And if we just took this message, if we really got a hold of this, and we just looked at our day as an opportunity, not just to do something big. I hope you do something big. But if all you ever look for is, I'm going to do something big, you won't ever get there. You start from where you are, and you do the little things, and you just obey God, and you just keep doing the little things. And I'm telling you, God will open doors. God will cause it to grow. One of those little things will be a seed that just takes off and grows. Don't despise the day of small things. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunities that you put before us every day, opportunities that so often we have walked by and not even given thought to, not even noticed, because it was just a small thing. And I pray, Father, that you help us, that the Holy Spirit will stir our hearts and cause us to see those things. Open our eyes, Father, and I pray, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, that you would just lead and guide our footsteps. And Father, that truly we would bring great glory and honor to you. Lord, it all belongs to you. And we just praise you and bless your name, Father. I thank you for these servants of the Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Father, as we go out from this place, that truly we would be on a mission to do your work. Lord, to further your kingdom. Lord, to reach out and help other people, to love them with the love of God, make a difference in this world. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.